Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us here this afternoon. I was not here yesterday, obviously. Had one of those kid called home. Today's Wednesday, so that would have been Monday. My seven-year-old left school with a minor fever, and you got to be at home. You got to be fever free for 24 hours. By the time we got to her yesterday, Monday, she was fever free. So we took the day off yesterday, and I sat at home with her. So I appreciate the opportunity to do that. It's an important thing to be able to do for my kiddos. So, I missed yesterday. What did you guys talk about the most yesterday? I know it's Ryan Recker yesterday, so that's a little bit of a different show than what we would normally do.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about some goofy stuff just because that's fun to do. I think we did talk probably most about the protests, which is similar to today, but also the Trump trial a little bit.
A little bit of that. We talked about a sentencing guidelines and are we, as a society, too much paying attention to the sympathies of the people committing the crimes and not treating the victims as victims?
That's for sure. I looked at the poll that you guys did yesterday, and I thought that was an interesting one. And I was interested to find out that the audience kind of divided over the four options about support for the aid package that was passed. The president of the United States spoke about that. He officially signed it earlier today. And we talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. We also spoke with Jerroy Murdoch, who really keyed in on these protests that are taking place across the country and the ridiculousness of what some of these protests include, some of the phrases that are chanted. It's just outrageous. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is, how are protests affecting the Democratic Party? Increasing support, decreasing support, or no change? You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. And in our live broadcast today, you can vote and tell us what you think. We'll read some of those comments to wrap up this hour. I asked you guys this off air, but we're going to talk about death. I teased that. It's kind of weird to tease that.
Yeah. Coming up.
And next, death. I have never been around anybody at their passing before. Have you?
Not in the room, but I've been very, very close.
Was it somebody close to you?
One time it was. Another time it was just an accident with a complete stranger. He was in the road. And he did not pass at that moment, but he never regained consciousness. So you never really know like what that means. But the last conscious moment of his life, I was there for. Mm. But my father-in-law, I was not in the room, but I was in the room next door in the waiting room when that happened. And my wife and the family was in the room.
Yeah. Brad, what about you?
Yeah, I wasn't in the room when my grandfather passed away, but I was in the next room over. I was at his house. He was on hospice. He had lung cancer. And I think I was in eighth grade when that happened. I happened to be sick that day, and my mom took me over to her dad's house while he was on hospice because they knew he didn't have much time.
Isn't it strange how it is the thing that is guaranteed in life? We don't really talk about it very much. Everyone kind of has a personal, you know, everybody has experience with losing loved ones, and some of those are very distant experiences, like, you know, yeah, I remember grandpa died when I remember something about it. I remember mom being sad when I was 4 or 5, but maybe you haven't lost somebody who's that close to you yet. Other people have been there and present and experienced it from a very upfront position. And then I always think about the people who do this for a living. What we do for a living, listen, I value you as a listener more than you will ever possibly know how much I appreciate you. But this is pretty worthless. This is entertainment, this is information, infotainment, whatever. I say this because I have heard this over the course of my time working in radio. Like, when people make mistakes here, nobody dies.
Yeah, you've said that before.
Don't do it again if you make a mistake. Right. Like, learn from that and do better next time. And I apply that to myself before I would even say that to anyone else. But, like, the worst day that we can have, nobody dies. And there are people who go to work to help people die. That's... My human brain is incapable of comprehending that. There was a Daily Mail article that kind of brought this to my attention. And it says, what really happens on your deathbed? Hospice nurse lifts the lid on 6 unimaginable phenomena that occur when a person is just days away from dying.
Ooh, interesting.
And I found this to be very interesting, but it's also a very sensitive topic. So I wanted to talk to Brad and Ryan about it ahead of time. So if... I know people who have been in the room when this happens, and I have experienced some of the things that I'm going to list here. And I didn't want to spring that on you guys if this was something that would be emotionally, not to use their phrase, but triggering. This is the kind of thing that is at the, like, epicenter, like, adjacent to your soul, kind of an experience. But the article talks about Julie McFadden. She's 41, registered nurse based in Los Angeles, and she specializes in hospice care. She goes through and lists the things that tend to happen and the experience. And I just wonder how many people listening have experienced these as well. And of course, you know, I've explained myself as a Christian, so I'm going to, isn't that the Rorschach test where it's like, oh, I'm a Christian, I can explain all of these things from the way that I see it. And I mean, honestly, I'm just going to tell you right now, I can explain it. I mean, like, I feel very convicted about that. But if you weren't a Christian, you would have a completely different perspective and take on it because your worldview is different. But I don't feel like my worldview is in conflict with any of the things that this person is talking about. Now, I'm also going to add before we get into the conversation, just because I think in full disclosure and context, this helps to understand the conversation. The end of this Daily Mail article says, later this year, Julie is set to release a book titled Nothing to Fear, billed as a comforting and informative guide that demystifies our end-of-life journey. I don't think it's bad to write books. I don't think it's bad to be very successful in selling books. I do think that while we're talking about this article in the Daily Mail, the fact that she has a book coming out is part of the story, but I don't think it negates, inflates, or deflates what she's talking about here. So she lists 6 things that she experiences or has experienced. And I'll just read from the article here a little bit. The health expert and author who previously lifted the lid on scary things that happen when you take your last breath took to YouTube once again to speak out about the phenomena surrounding death as she confessed that prior to having witnessed these wild things herself, she was uncomfortable sharing them. At the beginning of the clip, she explains that she never saw any of these 6 things while working as an ICU nurse and only began seeing them when she transitioned into hospice care. This is kind of why when I asked you guys this, like, have you ever been present? Because there is a difference between you come across a car accident, you experience something traumatic, or maybe you're in a hospital. But like the idea of somebody being at home and you shift to hospice. People know what that means when you shift to hospice. People who do come off of hospice care, not very often. But there is a preparation that is involved, and that hospice care is a part of that preparation. She began by explaining the first wild thing that happened at the end of life was terminal lucidity. She described this as a burst of energy that a patient who was nearing death got, adding it happened very often. The nurse admitted that it was unclear why those who were about to die got that energy, adding that you should just enjoy the short time with your loved one. She continued, just enjoy it and expect that maybe they will die soon after, because that's the kicker with terminal lucidity. It looks like someone's going to die very soon and suddenly they have this burst of energy. She has spoken out again about the phenomena regarding death as she confessed that prior to having witnessed these wild things herself, she was uncomfortable sharing them. So this terminal lucidity is like the surge of energy that they might get, mm-hmm. where maybe you feel like hospice, you're going through this experience, and then all of a sudden there's like a pretty dramatic change in presentation.
Yeah. Well, it's not just presentation. I had a friend whose grandfather had this very thing, and he said that he was up, like, they knew he was going to pass away, but then like he was up and he was walking around and he was talking to people, and they said it was like he was never sick to begin with.
He experienced this very thing.
Yeah. And then right after that, he passed away.
The second thing that you might see happen to your loved one, according to this Daily Mail article, who is on the brink of death, is visioning. This nurse, hospice nurse Julie McFadden, described as having hallucinations, adding that this phenomenon was talked about the most. She noted that patients often saw people who had passed weeks before their death. I wouldn't have believed it unless I saw it for myself over and over again. Julie advised that you, quote, just go with it. If you did see your loved one having a hallucination, before revealing that if someone was visioning, then they were a month away from death. The idea that you would see things, I've heard of people, somebody that I was related to had cancer and would see things. And, it, you know, in a completely secular biological way, you've got nerves, neurons firing in your brain and you're hallucinating. Maybe it's something more than that. But the idea that you would see things, I think that's something that you can understand that. I think a lot of us have heard people have that experience, and then if you're a hospice nurse, you're going to be exposed to it even more. The Daily Mail article writes, number three, this is really crazy. People choosing when they're going to die.
Yeah.
I've seen some extreme cases of this. People just saying, tonight's when I'm going to die. I know it. I can feel it. And then they do. There's also a time when people will wait for everybody to get in town or get into the room to arrive at the house, whatever it is, and then they will die. Have you ever experienced that?
I didn't experience this personally, but I was talking to my physician, my personal physician one time, and he said, like, he knows people that were terminal with whatever disease it was. I forget how we got on that. We used to have some deep conversations when I'd go visit my doctor. But he said people would be on there. He said, but if they had a wedding or a grandchild that was on the way or something like that, these people would hang on. He said they would make the wedding, make the event, whatever it is, and then right soon after they would just pass away.
That's amazing. That is something, you know, like in my mind, because this is the analytical mind that I have, I'm like trying to think of like, how do you control it? What do you have to key into? What do you have to manipulate so that you can push through and push further down the road? And then just get to the point where you're like, okay, now it's time. And to be that precise to say tonight, and then to have that happen.
Yeah, when I mentioned my father-in-law, that's exactly what happened with him. He got sick at the beginning of December of 2011. We drove there. We spent pretty much that whole month in Wichita, which is where they were. And then Christmas Eve, like I said, when he passed away, I was in the room next door, but the entire immediate family was with him. And it was one of the only times they had all been in the room. It was Christmas mm-hmm. Eve, and it was like he decided at that moment.
It was time.
That's it.
I've got the last three things, and I want to take a break, and we'll continue this conversation on the other side. And you know, let us know if you want to, if you've experienced any of these things in your lifetime. I've heard of people in that I'm connected to. I've never experienced it myself. I've never been in the room for that. But relating a lot to what the six things listed by this hospice nurse, Julie, that she's explaining. The article's on Daily Mail. I'll tweet it out too after we're done talking about it at Annie Fry Show. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. It's kind of a heavy topic that we're in right now, and if you missed the beginning of this conversation, we're carrying this over from the last segment. Because I came across this article in the Daily Mail, and it's about a hospice nurse named Julie McFadden. And she talks about the phenomena, the recurring phenomena that happen when somebody passes away. And a hospice nurse would have, you know, you just, what is it about people who are able to do this type of stuff? Like the whole death industry, how could I possibly pretend as much as I do that it doesn't exist?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be built completely differently to be able to do that, primarily emotionally, because you have to be engaged enough to be a part of what's going on, but you're doing that every day. I don't know how I would do that. I would be exhausted.
Well, I just don't think you were that person.
No.
And I know 100% that I am not that person. I have a strength about me in times of crisis. I am an orderly, business-oriented, I mean, I can get laser-focused in a time of crisis and help get through the crisis myself, the people around me. I am very good at that. And it is, you know, the effect of when you just narrowly avoid a really bad accident and you get through it, and then all of a sudden your body goes, what the heck was that? And then you feel the adrenaline rush through your body and kind of release. That for me is a very impactful thing after the fact. When I was in seventh grade, my whole family was in a rollover car accident going down the highway. We were going 65 miles an hour and we rolled the van 8 times into the highway at a high speed. Missed everything in the way. Ended up upside down, hanging from the minivan that we were in. And my whole family crawled out of it. And I have a scar on my head where I had staples to put together like maybe an inch long laceration from my head's impact into the hanger holder that the screw was popped out. My hair was wrapped around it, which is how my parents found out that's where that cut came from. But I got out of the car and I just started picking stuff up. Everybody was accounted for. And I was like, well, I guess we got to clean this mess up. I mean, it's not really a normal thing. It's like I have that in me, but only in a great time of crisis. And then the post-traumatic stress from something like that is very real. That happened to me when I was in seventh grade, and I still have elements of that that are with me. I cannot imagine what people who fight in combat, police officers as well, EMTs as well. I just don't... The car accident wasn't a life I chose.
That's right.
It's something you get thrust into, and then you know you do what you got to do. But for people who just
kick into it, people ask all the time. I'm sure you get this question a lot, Andy. Well, how do you talk for 3 hours a day? What do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you just kind of kick into it. It's just kind of part of your nature. Some of it's trained, but A lot of it is just who you are. I'm sure it's the same for most professions. This one, too. You just kind of have that thing in you that you're built to do that.
But, the stakes are so much higher.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We discussed the first three things that happen when people pass. And we're going to go here now to the fourth. If you missed the first three, we'll put this all together on the Andy Fry Show podcast. You can go check it out there. Watch it on the Andy Fry YouTube channel later if you so choose. The fourth thing is known as the death reach, according to Julie, this hospice nurse in this Daily Mail article. She explained, it's when the person's lying in bed and they reach up in the air like they're seeing someone or they're reaching for someone, either to hug them or to shake their hands. A lot of times they'll hold their hands up for a long time. Have you ever heard of anyone explaining that? I have.
No, I haven't.
No.
It's like they're seeing something and we're not seeing, and they're reaching for someone that we can't see. I think that's a pretty amazing, okay, I get it. I have a worldview. I have a Christian perspective on this. That there's an easily A to B for me on that. But I do know people who have done that with what is listed as the fifth thing. Julie then listed number five is the death stare, explaining that the death stare and the death reach often go together. It usually looks like someone is staring off into the corner of the room or the side of the room, basically looking at something intently. But if you're snapping your finger in front of their face or trying to say their name to kind of snap them out of it, they won't. This intent look, my loved one that somebody very close to me was there when this happened, just explained it like, the situation was going on. I think this one particularly was in the hospital, but just wide open look where they were, especially if you're in hospice. I mean, you're effectively likely sleeping most of the time due to a lot of the medication to take the pain away at the moment. But this just like look of complete and total lucidity and purpose and intent in what you're looking at, along with that reach, is I'm happy that I have a faith that explains that to me. Maybe that's naive for a lot of people think that that's a naive thought, which is fine. You can think that. Have you ever heard of that look or that stare?
Yeah, definitely. And now that we link the stare with the reach, I get what she's saying too. I don't know that I've ever seen that myself or experienced somebody who's seen it, but I know exactly what they're talking about.
I've not.
The last wild thing the nurse has seen is known as a shared death experience and is the most impactful, according to this nurse, Jory. She explained, a shared death experience is when someone who is not dying feels or sees or understands what's happening to the person who is dying. It's kind of like the dying person gives you the sensation of what they're going through. There may have been some times where that's not a good thing, but from my experience and all the stories I've heard, it's usually a good feeling. It's like the person was giving me these feelings of freedom and joy and kind of telling me that they were okay. And basically, they couldn't believe how amazing it was again. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's interesting because I didn't know the article that you were bringing up was from a hospice nurse. I actually used to go to church or a church group with a hospice nurse. And I asked her a lot of these questions, what do you experience? It's probably one of those questions that she either gets all the time or nobody's ever going to ask. So I'm like, I don't know which side of the fence I'm on here, but I really wanted to know what you experience on a daily basis, And she actually mentioned a lot of these same things. She may have not said the same words, but it was pretty similar. But the one that I remember that she talked about that really stood out to me was, she said that she would walk into a room, and a lot of times, people are coming and going. You get to know some people because they're there for a couple weeks. Others, they're there for a day and a half. You just don't know. You walk into a room, it's a new person. She said there were times, and it's not 100% of the time, but she could feel before ever even talking to the person whether the person was at peace or whether the person was not at peace. And she said 100% of the time after I had the feeling, I would then talk to the person if they were able to talk. And then it would 100% correspond with the feeling that I had when I walked in the room. And I thought that was really, it was one of the ways that she kind of coped with the job, because she could walk into a room and know kind of how she was going to be able to talk to somebody if she was going to talk to them at all. And I don't know if that was just something that she had developed or if it was a gift that she had that other people don't or what, but it really, it always stuck to me with me that that's how she kind of went through her daily job, was just feeling and trying to minister to people in that moment based on the way they felt.
Yeah. I remember, because I was in the other room when my grandfather passed away, I remember the feeling I got, and I didn't realize it was happening at the same time that he passed, but that sort of calm and that peace, and it's like, oh, well, it's done now. And I remember talking to my mom, because they didn't come in for quite some time to talk to me before it happened. And they came in, whenever they came in, they told me, and it was like, oh, I was like, man, I thought that happened like 10 minutes ago. And she goes, it was. So, yeah, I've kind of experienced, I don't know that I felt it as intensely as what that article's describing.
You'd have been like 14, 13?
Yeah. Yeah, 12, 14, something like that. And I just kind of knew that's when it had happened.
Yeah. I don't like this. There are several things in life where, like, the only thing worse than being there is not being there. And, you know, I think about people, to think about the life you get to live. If you've reached old age and you're in a bed surrounded by your family, and you know, it's a sad thing to let it go. But again, I don't know how I can go day to day without acknowledging the thing that is guaranteed for all of us to experience as much as I do. But I feel like that bedside moment is something to think about when we're focusing on all of the other things that throughout the course of the day or the minutes or the years or whatever, stressing us out and taking up all of our time. Like, what matters in that bedside moment? It will matter that you fought for what you think is good for the country, or tried to advocate for things that would better the world or the country or your town or whatever it is for generations to come. I mean, that stuff does matter. You can't just be like, wow, I won't care about this when I'm on my deathbed. But if you're not prioritizing the things that you would be feeling grateful for in that moment, then you just need to make sure that, like, those the advocacy, the passion, the anger, the happiness that you feel in all of these daily moments that you have right now that are feel very meaningless, that our emotions and our passions are being funneled into things that matter for the right reasons. And that at the end of the day, like, they're all pointing back to those deathbed priorities that you'll have. Like, who do you have? Where are you going? What did you give? What did you take? And, you know, ultimately, what was the purpose? And I think that because we don't like to talk about death, I don't like to talk about death. I question whether or not I wasn't going to talk about it, but I'm going to be honest. The Daily Mail is a hard website to read. There's a bazillion ads.
Yeah.
I was like trying to fight them off as I was going through. I was like, I have to read this whole article. And I'm like, if I can't put this article down, I should talk about it. I shouldn't just keep it for myself. It should be something. It would be something I feel would be compelling for you to listen to. There's a lot of feedback coming in the chat and the comments. And I actually said out loud on the break, I'm like, I can't read all these comments because they were making me get choked up to hear about some of these experiences that you've had with your loved ones. But in putting off talking about death, you can put off talking about those priorities that will never be more clear to you than in those last moments, if you're in a position to understand that you're in your last moments or days or whatever. Like, that's when your priorities are clear, but you can't do anything about it. That's when it's done. But if you're in a position right now to permit yourself to do the uncomfortable thing and think about that moment a little bit, make sure that that boomerangs back to right now. And if you're not talking to somebody in your life that you will regret not talking to them in that deathbed moment, you actually have the ability this afternoon to talk to that person. That's a pretty, that's like life-changing stuff. If you were in that deathbed moment and you gave up on going to church and you're laying there and you're thinking, you know, I wish I would have been in church, then you can, or place of worship, whatever it might be for you. Like, now is the time where you can actually just show up and be in that place, something that's bigger than you. You can't do that if you're bedridden and on morphine and you're, according to this article, waiting for everybody to be bedside so that you can pass. I mean, there are things that you have the power to do today that you will not have the power to do then. So maybe in that regard, like I was saying, the uncomfortable thing of opening your mind to think about that moment can actually result in a dramatic net positive for the decisions you make today in those seemingly meaningless moments of your life where you're just trying to get through the grind. And I say that as somebody who is just constantly in the middle of the grind. I retweeted that article. So if you want to read it for yourself or share it with somebody, you can go pull it off my Twitter at Annie Fry Show. And like I said at the very beginning, this woman has a book coming out. So if it interests you, maybe you want to get her book. But that's, I think, one of the reasons why it was featured in that Daily Mail article. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You want to lighten the mood a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
10 quirky habits that indicate an unusually high level of intelligence.
Now, do you think that this is going to lighten the mood because we're all going to laugh, or
because I think some of us are going
to
laugh?
Yeah, because I'm not looking forward to this.
Wanted to know if you have an unusually high level of intelligence. You're really the only one who could tell us.
Okay, well then I guess proceed.
Or we could, if you want to expand this beyond you, we could figure out who these apply to.
No, we could just do me.
Just you?
Just you.
Yeah, that's mine.
Being a night owl?
No.
Do you stay up late and struggle with early mornings? You're not alone. Many smart people are night owls. Science even backs this up. Research shows that night owls often have higher IQs than early birds. So if you're reading this at 2 a.m., take it as a compliment. You might just be a genius.
Well, that's nice to know, but I'm not an early bird either, so... I just sleep a ton.
You're a bear.
Put me in the category.
Yeah. Hibernates.
Would you call yourself a night owl, Brad?
Yeah, I would.
Are you a morning person?
No. I've never been a morning person.
Like a true non-morning person?
No, I hate mornings. Like, I'm a morning person now because I have to be.
Have you adapted fine?
Eh.
No.
I've done a great job. So, I do stay up late sometimes just to prove this.
Define late. 9:30?
Yeah, like 11, you know, maybe. Like,
how hard is it for you to stay past midnight?
It's pretty hard. I don't stay up past midnight almost ever, although I am going to a concert tonight. I agreed months ago to go to a concert tonight, and I'm like, what was I thinking? It was so far ahead of the time,
know,
and I'm
I
like,
know.
Yeah, sure.
I know exactly you that
know?
Feeling. Yeah.
Like, oh, gosh, I'm going to be so tired tomorrow.
Who did I think I was going to be?
Yeah, did I think I would be 24. A different person?
What concert?
Veruca Salt. I can't even tell you what venue it's at. It's at some little tiny little place. I'm looking forward to the show, but it like they don't start playing music till like 9:30 or 10.
Number two, quirky habits that reveal an unusually high level of intelligence. Talking to yourself.
I was thinking about this the other day,
out loud.
But not saying anything out loud. And I thought, you know what, Ryan, we disagree with this.
But in turn,
we don't talk out loud much.
Do you find yourself mumbling your thoughts out loud? Some might think it's strange, but it could be a sign of high intelligence. Talking to yourself can help clarify your thoughts, remember important things, and solve problems. It's like having a personal brainstorming session.
I'm 0 for 2 on this.
I'm definitely a night owl. Everybody knows that. Do you talk to yourself?
A little bit. Yeah, I do. But not. I wouldn't have full conversations with myself. But I'll talk to myself as
Why
I'm doing
bored?
Something. Yeah, I'm not very interesting to talk to. No, it's just little.
That's why he shares an office with Leah. He can just say, oh, I was talking to
yeah,
Leah.
Yeah, totally talking to Leah. But
Leah's got headphones on.
She, yeah.
Listening to Taylor Swift. I don't know that I talk to myself. Have you ever heard me talk to myself?
A little bit, but it's like what I do. It's just that quiet under your breath kind of thing. And it's not like a sentence. It's like, oh, no, don't do that. Or,
yeah.
All right, here,
yeah.
And then we'll do that.
I've heard you do that.
You have?
I have heard you do that. And the interesting thing about it is it's usually just enough of a sentence fragment and just loud enough that I never know if you're talking to me
no.
or not. And usually you're not. You're talking to your phone or something.
Number three, being messy.
I'm a genius.
Oh, are you messy?
I'm organized messy. I think Brad said this the other day.
Organized messy.
Yeah, organized messy. Yeah. Like, I have piles of papers all over my desk.
See, you're messy, but you understand it.
But I know exactly where everything is,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I'm not. I wish I were a cleaner person.
No, I am cluttered. I mean, you could look at my desk right now, and it's like, yeah, it's cluttered.
Here's
it's
the secret.
Organized.
My desk is often cluttered with papers, coffee mugs, and other random stuff. Fortunately for me, psychologists suggest this could be a sign of intelligence.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
So, we want to go back to your wife and the kitchen sink?
No, that's completely different. That's just gross.
Did she hear? Okay.
No, she did not hear that, nor will
she. Number four, being a daydreamer. Do you often find your mind wandering off to distant places while in the middle of something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not your mind. It's your mouth, Ryan.
Say this again. I wasn't paying attention.
I was thinking of something.
I'm a daydream believer.
I used to get letters home from school saying that Brad daydreams too much and he needs to pay more attention in class.
No.
I was just, I was someplace else.
I was in college.
What do you daydream about?
Anything.
Do we want to know?
I mean, sometimes I would say probably the majority of the time it's something like Willy Wonka. Like, I'm just going through the magical land of chocolate.
I daydream, I am so analytical that, like, I am always constantly surveying things that could be done better. And you guys are laughing because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's always like, how could, like, if you look at processes and you figure out, like, how did they get to that? How could it be better? And, like, it's, I don't engage in a lot of those things, but sometimes.
I hate to say that I do that too. And I only know that because I'll say to my wife, you know what? They really have things figured out here. And she's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but look at the way they've figured out how to blah, blah, blah. She's like, I don't care about that.
Quirky habits that reveal an unusually high level of intelligence. Number five, Brad, having a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
All right. Number six, being curious.
Super neat.
Skip.
Would you say you have a good sense of humor?
No. I'm a humorless person. I'm so serious that and it bothers me that so many times I say something and I mean it and you guys laugh. It's very offensive.
We just have good senses of humor
Brad,
over here,
Brad, are you supposed to be laughing right now or is this serious? Listen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just told you, I'm serious.
Yeah. Humor him.
No. And just and so the audience knows in the future, if you hear me say something that you're like, man, that was dumb, I meant it.
Number six, being curious. I've always been a curious person, whether it's about how a rainbow forms or why cats purr. My mind is always filled with questions. Those are not things that I am curious of, but I am constantly trying to figure things out. Wondering about
things. I love like technical things. How does this piece of machinery work? Like broadcasting, like being in here and seeing all the tech and how they make this, my voice turn into what you're hearing in your ears right now over the radio. All of that stuff fascinates me. I could spend hours in that server room back there just looking at the different equipment.
Like, you were in there yesterday. I was looking for you. I'm like, why are you in the server room?
I was getting a tape measure from the guys.
I'm curious about nature.
This is new added responsibilities.
I walk around in the park before the show to clear my mind, and I wonder, have I ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon?
Or do or don't, Ryan.
Grinning bobcat, why
are you,
he grins?
Are you singing?
No, this is my internal monologue. It's just in a higher pitch.
It would be. Real quick here. Number seven, being forgetful. Strangely, intelligent people are apparently forgetful. How does that happen? I am forgetful. I have a lot of things in place to shore that up so that, like, a lot of calendars and stuff like that. But are you guys forgetful?
Mm-hmm.
Does it say intelligent people are forgetful or aren't?
Just answer the question. Are you forgetful?
If it's that they are, then yes.
Number eight, being adaptable. Do you easily adjust to new situations or changes in your life?
Yes.
No.
Change is a constant in my life.
Ryan, are you adaptable?
Not really.
So, but I mean, as a parent, though, you have to learn to do it whether you like it or not. That's for sure. Last one, doodling.
No. I've never done that. I don't know why. I just don't. I don't get people that do.
So much doodling.
You are a doodler?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when I drew you in the middle of the show?
Yeah, when I drew you back.
Not really. The YouTube live chat poll, got to wrap this up before we hand it over to Mark Reardon. How are protests affecting the Democratic Party? 5% of you said increasing support. 32% said no change, and twice as many of that, 64% said decreasing support. Thank you for being with us here today. We appreciate you. The Mark Reardon Show, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.